DiscerningHearts.com presents Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I am delighted to be joined by Father Mitch Pacwa, who is a popular host on EWTN Catholic Television Network and founder of Ignatius Productions, a Catholic media production apostolate. A respected biblical scholar, he's written numerous books, including the best-selling St. Paul, a Bible study guide for Catholics. With Father Mitch Pacwa, we go inside the pages of The Year of Faith, a Bible study guide for Catholics, published by Our Sunday Visitor. Father Pacwa, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure to be with you.
You know, I love the fact that in each of the studies, it first pulls forward the teachings of Pope Benedict from Porta Fidei, and to be able to reflect on that. And in all of his teachings, he always links virtually everything back to some type of revelatory action from Scripture.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, this I remember quite some time ago, in the 90s, and Pope, now Blessed John Paul, was visiting the United States. And there was a very liberal feminist Catholic on the ABC News commentary. And her complaint about the Pope's visit is, all that that man has to do is, with a wave of his hand, change the church's teaching on abortion and make it morally acceptable. Mm. And that was her goal. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that she understands the Pope and his spiritual power along the models of some of our recent politicians. For instance, the day after President Obama was reelected, mm-hmm. he signed 900 presidential orders. He just goes ahead and doesn't check with Congress or anything like that. He just does it. And she thinks that the Pope can do that. Whereas the Pope is answerable to God, and B, he has to make his decisions based on revelation. Mm-hmm. What has God revealed? Ours is not a religion of philosophy. It is a religion based on what God has revealed, and the Pope must be subject to revelation. You see that in the Vatican II document on Revelation, mm-hmm. that the Magisterium of the Church, which is the official teaching office of the Church, is subject to revelation. We can't just willfully decree something. We have to follow what God has shown us. And that is why the Pope makes sure that he makes those links with revelation.
I think this is such a strong work that, for example, groups all across this country right now are in programs called the RCIA, the Rites of Christian Initiation for Adults. And it has unfortunately been demonstrated that so often at the Easter Vigil, that particular group throughout the United States could be considered the eighth largest denomination, quote unquote, in the country. But what's the sad point is that it's also been shown that a year later, maybe a third of them are no longer practicing their faith. And it's been kind of, we've sacramentalized them, but we haven't evangelized them.
Or what I would say, in the RCA, I would rephrase, they've been evangelized, mm-hmm. they've been sacramentalized, they've heard the basic gospel throughout RCIA. Mm-hmm. They've been taught about the sacraments and brought into it. But in the early church, the time after baptism mm-hmm. Was known as the time for the mystagogica, mm-hmm. in which means leading them into the mysteries. Mm-hmm. That's a Greek word. We have examples of what the bishops used to teach. A classic example, one of my absolute favorites, is St. Cyril of Jerusalem. Mm. And he would get the new converts and gather them around the altar, around the tomb of Jesus. They would go and sit right in front of the tomb of Jesus, and then he would deepen their knowledge of the faith and the sacraments. Mm-hmm. And it's not only a problem in RCIA, mm-hmm. it's also a problem in catechesis. Mm-hmm. For instance, a lot of times after young people get confirmed, then they think, oh, that's graduation. I don't need to go for any more education about my faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't do that. I hope they don't do that in regard to their jobs. When they have a job, when they finish high school, I assume they're going to deepen their knowledge about what they're doing. If they don't, they probably will be fired, and they should be, because we live in an age of high information,
mm-hmm.
and you need to keep up. But if you have to do that with your job, you should use that as a model for how much you need to do that in regard to your faith.
Mm-hmm.
That you need to keep studying more about the faith. So that, I don't know if you ever studied much psychology.
Not very much, Father.
All right. When I was in college, back in the late 60s, early 70s,
mm-hmm.
I took a fair amount of psychology. And one of the courses was called developmental psychology. And the whole focus was on the different stages of development in children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and they ended the course at the end of adolescence. Well, since I was in college, they've done a number of long-term studies of adults. And they find that adults also go through different stages of development. You don't stop the stages of development when you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
There are major changes in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, and so on. And we need to keep up our growth in the faith. And the most important task of any human being is to get to heaven and to avoid hell.
Mm-hmm.
That is the bottom line task of human life. And as a result, just as it's a goal to keep up with your job so that you can eventually retire comfortably and do all you have to do when you get older, you also have to get ready for the day you're going to die,
mm-hmm.
which you don't know, but you stay ready at each stage. That means growing in virtue, growing in faith, and the Pope also brings out that you need to grow in understanding of your faith so that you don't depend just on what you learned as a small child, just as you don't depend on what you learned as a child in regard to physics,
mm-hmm.
or biology. What you learn when you're 7 years old about biology is not going to be enough for when you turn 60. You have a lot more things going wrong. I have to know what they are and where to go to get help from the doctor. So you need to understand what's going on with your own biology. Same thing with your soul. And the Pope wants us to not only be able to recognize our Catholic faith when we see it, but be able to put it into words so that we can explain it. Now, this is a very big part of the year of faith.
Mm-hmm.
The Pope also wants all of us to become evangelizers. This is a duty and responsibility of every single baptized Catholic to bring people to the faith. there is very little understanding of Christianity. As a matter of fact, I recently went to a website, a friend of mine pointed it out to me, that was a response to Pope Benedict getting a Twitter account. And I was absolutely amazed at how much hatred, vitriol, absolutely the foulest language, and the meanest things that were being said about him, and then the church, and Jesus Christ. I actually heard on one of the very liberal, secular news programs that on television, that if Mary had only aborted Jesus, we wouldn't have to put up with all this nonsense.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a quote. Now, the reason I bring that up is that is the world we are to evangelize. We are not to let them intimidate us. That's exactly what the secular, materialistic world is trying to do. They want everybody to see the world, the human person, and other people around us in a mechanical way. And our task is going to be learned to stand up to them. They are intellectual bullies. Like most bullies, they in this case being intellectual ones, they are ignorant of philosophy. They don't understand the proofs for the existence of God. And they don't understand the history of Catholicism. They don't understand what we believe. And if we Catholics do not take this year of faith, as the Pope has asked us, to learn how to explain through good philosophy, especially Aristotle and others, that God exists and that the human eternal soul exists, that the purpose of life is to love God in this life and to be with him for all eternity. If we don't learn how to explain Catholic history, Catholic doctrine, then of course they are going to bully us. And that is our fault if we allow them to do it. The way you deal with such intellectual bullies is that you stand up to them, show them the facts, and, you know, move toward them.
The Holy Father at the Synod for the New Evangelization said it essentially comes down to two things, confessio and caritas.
Notice I didn't say shoot the bullies. I just said stand up.
No, but to stand up and to be who you are, to have integrity. But a lot of Catholics don't know.
And let me rephrase that. It's not just to be who you are, as if you decide that, but it is to be the person God has called you to be. He is the one who gives us this mission. Not the Pope. He didn't give us this mission to evangelize the world. Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, said, "Go out, therefore, to all nations and teach them everything that I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." That is God made flesh giving us our marching orders. If you don't want to do that, then you have to explain to God our Lord why you didn't want to do what he asked of you. That you're not explaining it to me. I'm not the one who's going to be judging your soul, but God our Lord is.
And it could look differently for each person. I had the real blessing in 2011 of hearing you speak in a little church, little chapel in Père Le Monial, where you talked about the example of a little French nun who was very simple in a message that she had to deliver, and a brilliant Jesuit, who both, St. Claude de Colombier, who both, by how they were designed by God, was able to share the faith in a very hostile environment in which they lived.
Exactly. See, that was the time in which two forms of hostility toward Catholic faith like Descartes and then later on David Hume and others, would begin to see the world and the human person in a mechanical way. They saw the universe as a big machine and human beings as cogs in that machine, instead of seeing that we are rational animals with an immortal soul who have been created by God, you know, at the moment of conception. It was a different approach. So they had that beginning of opposition to the faith from the secular materialistic quarter, though Descartes himself was not materialist. He was a Catholic. But his ideas spurred materialists like a very silly philosopher named David Hume.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you a book to also help people with this year of faith to prove, you know, to deal with the proofs of the existence of God, mm-hmm. called The Last Superstition, mm-hmm. By Edward Fraser. But then the other opposition, well, you had the beginnings of the materialistic worldview going on. You also had a group that taught everything of the material world was evil, that anything fun or pleasurable was evil. And this heresy was fought very strongly by the Jesuits. This is called the Jansenist heresy. Mm-hmm. And the Jesuits fought strongly against it on the intellectual level. And that was very useful. Mm-hmm. But Christ revealed himself to the simple nun, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, and showed his Sacred Heart. And through her Jesuit spiritual director, Claude de la Colombière, this was made known. Matter of fact, after this was first made known to him and all, he was reassigned to England to be the personal chaplain of an important noblewoman who was a Catholic married to the English nobility. And the English nobles that she was married to were thinking of becoming Catholic. And he ended up telling her, that this noblewoman, about the Sacred Heart. He was later on arrested, thrown into jail, became very sick, was released back to France, and then died not too long afterwards. But the fact that he revealed the message of the Sacred Heart to this noble woman then made it possible for her to tell it to the Pope. And then the Pope started the ball rolling to have the Feast of the Sacred Heart brought into play in the church. And that was a counteraction to the heresies going on at that point. It's, you know, God uses all kinds of ways to call people to a faith that works itself out in love. Matter of fact, in one of the chapters, that is a theme of my book,
mm-hmm.
Faith That Works Itself Out in Love, from Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 and through 6. That's a passage that Pope Benedict, you know, recommended, so I just developed that as a theme. But that's what we're called to do. Have a faith that works itself out in love of God with our whole heart, mind, and soul, in love of our neighbor as ourselves.
Mm. It's a daunting task, this culture that we find ourselves in, that's kind of sliding. I think we've realized that it's not the political or economic systems that have to change first, but maybe it's the human heart.
Yep, you look at, to me, what seems to be the most dangerous statistic going on in our culture today is that 40% of all children are born to unwed mothers.
Mm-hmm.
This is extremely dangerous. It means that 40% of the fathers of children are accepting neither responsibility to their children nor a loving devotion to them or to the women with whom they have these children. They're not marrying them. They're not caring unwed mothers. 62% of the suicides in our country are the children of unwed mothers. 60% of the daughters of unwed mothers will become unwed mothers. This is a catastrophe. And, you know, it's about, and you think of that. There is a loss of sense of the importance of marriage, family, parental responsibility, and love for your children. And with it, a loss of the sense that marriage is a sacrament that is instituted by Christ, so you lose faith in God and what he's calling you to. And then, of course, in addition to the 40% of children who are born to unwed mothers, there is a very significant number of children who are aborted. In places like Washington, D.C. and New York City, it's up to 60% of children conceived are aborted. And this, you know, means an even greater destruction of the natural love of mothers for their own children, and certainly of the fathers as well. And so this breakdown of family is very, very important to understand about how, as you say, we in the culture need to change. We don't need to change the Constitution. We need to change the way that we are, you know, dealing with the most basic component of society, the family, and to see that in the context of our Catholic faith and our mission as Catholics, A, to encourage marriage, but also to love those unwed mothers, to love the women who are considering abortion or have had them already, to love the children, and to do what we can to help preclude this catastrophe from, you know, overwhelming the whole country. I mean, it will destroy the nation. There's no doubt in my mind.
It's a breakdown of relationship, isn't it, Father?
Totally. Totally. And again, personal morality breaks down first. I mean, these unwed mothers see sexuality as totally divorced from the procreative component. The school teaches them that you can use prevention and you can have, quote, safe sex, when in fact, you know, we've seen the rate of unwed mothers go from 2% in 1940 to 40% today. And we've also seen that now 20% of Americans have a sexually transmitted disease. 25% of teenagers have one. And among the elderly, it's growing because sexual morality in old age, at rest homes and such, has also broken down. Oftentimes, we'll tell older people, you've been watching too many episodes of Golden Girls, and you are not living out the kind of virtue you need to live. So this and that virtue is based on a sense of faith. You know, this is where we have to see that coming into play.
And that's why the study of the Catechism, the teachings of the Church, the Catechism talks about that fundamental gift of faith where God reveals himself to us and his desire to have a relationship with us, but then it's also our response to him. And if we don't...
Exactly. That's exactly where morality comes in.
We can understand why we need to have a year of faith, because we as a people, even in that fundamental relationship with God, if we don't heal that, how is the rest of it ever going to come into play?
Well, that's very correct. That's very correct. And it's very important for each of us to see that we have the relationship with God is, you know, absolutely essential for us, and we very much want to live that out in such a way that we become holy people. That's our goal. No, it's not just being nice people. It's becoming holy people. And, you know, this is a tremendous challenge, to be sure, but it is a challenge that will help us to become far better than we can possibly imagine.
Mm. Well, Father Mitch Pacwa, you are one of those men who are helping to lead the way for all of us, and we just so...
I just try to do what I can.
Well, you do so much for us, and can I ask for your priestly blessing for all of our listening?
May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And if you ever need a lift in Paralamaniel, just give me a call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Father Mitch.
God bless.
Bye-bye. With Father Mitch Pacwell, we've gone inside the pages of The Year of Faith, a Bible study guide for Catholics. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to osv.com, the website for its publisher, Our Sunday Visitor, or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.